Now, friends, we're here in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. We're down to the seventh verse, and this is the scene in heaven, and we have seen that there are some very interesting things to behold in heaven, and that the golden streets are really not the most important thing after all. Now, he says here in verse 7, and the first beast, and I should change that, the first living creature, the word as we saw last time, was Zoa, and it doesn't mean a wild beast as we might think. Now, we will have that when we get to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. That's a different word, and that's a different type of beast. These are just living creatures, and as we said last time, the emphasis is not upon the bestial, but upon the vital, the fact they're living. And we're told here, the first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face as a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Now, we attempted to identify these with the gospel that they represent, and I believe rather accurately, although that's questioned a great deal today, that the first gospel presents the Lord Jesus as the king. He's born a king. He lives a king. He dies a king. He's raised as a king. He's coming again as a king. Everything he does in the gospel of Matthew does as a king. And you'll remember that God said of the tribe of Judah was like a lion. And the king, the ruler, would come out of that the scepter would not depart from Judah until Shiloh came. Now, the second was like a calf or an ox. That's the beast of burden and the servant animal domesticated. And in the Gospel of Mark, Christ is presented as the servant. No genealogy there. When a man comes to mow your lawn or to wash dishes for you, you don't ask him who his papa and mama was. What difference does it make? You want to know whether he can do the job. That's the Gospel of Mark, the ox. And then you have the third living creature, the face of a man. And the third gospel presents the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man. Luke does that. Then the fourth living creature is like a flying eagle, and that communicates the deity of Christ as seen in the Gospel of John. Now, these living creatures also represent the animal world. In fact, all living creatures on this earth, as suggested by Godet. The lion represents wild beasts. The ox represents domesticated animals. And the eagle represents birds. And man here is the head of all creation. Now, somebody says, well, what about fish? Well, in the new heavens and the new earth, there's not going to be any more sea. And since there's no sea, you won't need any fish, unless they're going to live on dry land, and reptiles. The serpent won't be there either to introduce sin as he did at the beginning. Now let me read verse 8. And the four living creatures had each of them six wings about them. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. Now, these six wings immediately correspond to the seraphim in Isaiah, the sixth chapter. And I'm sure that when you read that verse, you think of the sixth chapter of Isaiah. And instead of that they had, it means having. This is present tense. This is where the action is, and it's taking place, and it's in present tense. And again, the thing that they say monotonously, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Now, that's the same refrain of the seraphim of Isaiah, the sixth chapter again. Now, which was and is coming, that refers to Christ. He identified himself. You'll remember at the very beginning of this book, in just that way. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come. And so he's identified for us. We don't need to speculate in places like this.